Vice President Lai Ching-te on Thursday received a delegation from the Project 2049 Institute, a U.S. think tank. During the meeting, Lai stressed he will work toward protecting Taiwan's national security and maintaining peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait and Indo-Pacific region.
The head of the delegation, Randall Stryver, stated that Taiwan is an important member in maintaining regional stability. Let's hear from Lai and Stryver.
Our guests today are all experts in international relations, regional security, and national defense. It's not just Institute Chair Randall Stryver and President John Gastright. Every member of this delegation is a force for global stability. Xiao Bikim and I will proactively work to develop Taiwan's economy, take care of our people, and boost Taiwan's security while maintaining peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait and Indo-Pacific region.
Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who of course coined the term free and open Indo-Pacific, but really gave us the intellectual framework for a lot of the work that we're doing to promote that free and open Indo-Pacific, which Taiwan is very much a part of.
Lai and Stryver stressed the importance of a peaceful and stable Indo-Pacific region. The comments come one day after U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Kurt Campbell warned against China's increasing pressure on Taiwan and the possibility of conflict erupting in Taiwan Strait. He said the U.S. would continue to do its job to defend freedom and stability across the Taiwan Strait and in the Indo-Pacific region. Former President Ma Ying-jeou met with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Wednesday in Beijing, capturing headlines around the world.
DPP lawmakers in Taiwan have slammed Ma, saying that he didn't dare mention the ROC during his meeting with Xi. Experts have also noted that the hall where Ma and Xi met had previously been used for discussions regarding Hong Kong's handover to Beijing in the late 20th century.
Nine years after their last meeting, Ma Ying-jeou and Xi Jinping once again came together on Wednesday. The reunion took place at the East Hall of the Great Hall of the People in Beijing, usually reserved for receiving foreign dignitaries. One day before on Tuesday, Xi had met with the President of the Federated States of Micronesia at the hall. Back in 2021, the hall was where Xi sat during a video conference with US President Joe Biden. At first glance, it could appear that Beijing received Ma with the full fanfare. But the devil is in the details. The hall is also where Deng Xiaoping met with Hong Kong representatives to negotiate the territory's handover to China and the stationing of PLA troops in Hong Kong.
They met there to discuss the handover of Hong Kong and Macau to China. So in a way, that hints that Taiwan will also one day join the motherland. The unification overtones are very obvious. By making the event grander and getting Ma Ying-jeou to come back, it gives Beijing a stronger foothold to convey the political message they intend to convey. I think there were a lot of meticulous calculations behind these arrangements. It doesn't matter which hall they met in. Was Ma received with the respect he should have? Even the mention of the ROC has to be covered up as if it were a slip of the tongue. At the same time, he did not dare breach the issue of PLA aircraft and vessels constantly crossing the median line of the Taiwan Strait. He's just become another tool that China can use to ramp up pressure for its unification goals.
During his meeting with Xi, Ma made a slip of the tongue, saying the ROC instead of ethnic Chinese. He also touched upon the so-called 1992 consensus, saying that there is one China and that each side of the strait defines China in its own way. Xi, however, has insisted on Beijing's One China principle, which defines Taiwan as part of China. Critics say that the different interpretations of China can be no more.
What Ma Ying-jeou's One China with different interpretation means is that he has to limit mentions of the ROC to slips of the tongue, making it as if the ROC were a misunderstanding. We shouldn't form an alliance with the CCP, which forces the ROC, forces Taiwan, to accept its political positions as a prerequisite for peace.
Pundits have decried Ma's meet with Xi, which has also captured attention from international media outlets. An expert on the Nikkei Asia is quoted as saying that Ma's trip had encouraged Beijing to believe that its divide-and-rule approach to Taiwan had worked.
TSMC's consolidated revenue for March hit 195.21 billion NT, a 30% increase from March 2023.
The chipmaker has made more than 592.6 billion NT in the first quarter, marking a year-on-year increase of 16.5%. The stream of good news involving the company has further pushed up its shares, which hit a record high of 820 NT on Thursday. The rise led the index up, with electrical, tourism, and construction also on the rise. In the end, selling pressure took hold and the index closed down 10 points at 20,753, a turnover of 440.9 billion NT dollars. Institutional investors sold a net 5.479 billion NT. Taiwan continues to provide humanitarian aid to Ukraine more than 2 years since the East European nation was invaded by Russia. A Taiwanese business leader recently donated 140 emergency vehicles to the war effort.
The fleet of ambulances and fire trucks are decorated with Taiwan and Ukraine flags. The vehicles were first shipped to Poland, where a Mandarin-speaking Polish influencer was able to interview several stakeholders.
A row of ambulances emblazoned with heart-shaped Taiwan and Ukraine flags. 2 years after Russia invaded Ukraine, the war shows no sign of ending. Taiwan has donated lots of equipment to Ukraine. Now, the chair of a Taiwanese textiles company has donated 140 ambulances and fire trucks to the East European country.
The final shipment of 40-something ambulances has reached Poland. They'll be heading for Ukraine very shortly, so before long, the Ukrainian people can make use of these ambulances and fire trucks donated by the Taiwanese people.
An influencer, Stan from Poland, made a special visit to Warsaw Central Station to interview people involved in the project for this video.
We're very grateful to our friends in Taiwan, our partners in Taiwan, grateful to you for supporting us in Ukraine, for your contribution toward our victory, your help for our army. Taiwan, we thank you.
That they show the whole world, and Taiwan can help. We hope this will continue, and we hope in the future, we can still join hand in hand with our like-minded partners.
Although Taiwan is 8,000 kilometers from Ukraine, the country has poured out a steady stream of humanitarian aid for Ukraine.
All the problems Ukraine now faces could easily come to Taiwan, so we must do all we can to help Ukraine so Ukraine can win this war to warn China not to invade Taiwan.
As democratic countries resisting the encroachment of authoritarian aggressors, Taiwan and Ukraine have a friendship deeper than mere slogans.
Today, Japan's de facto ambassador to Taiwan visited FTV, where he was able to witness a political talk show being filmed.
After taking a photo in the anchor seat, Kazuyuki Katayama, the new chief representative of the Japan-Taiwan Exchange Association, got to experience the state-of-the-art technology on display in FTV's new LED virtual studio.
This is Kazuyuki Katayama, the new chief representative of the Japan-Taiwan Exchange Association. It's his first visit to FTV's Linkō headquarters, and he's not wanting for company. Along for the tour are FTV General Manager Liao Jifang and FTV Vice President An Hu. When Kazuyuki walked into the new studio, Taiwan Go For It was underway. In addition to learning about the filming process for the political talk show, a type of program that Japanese TV doesn't have, Kazuyuki also enjoyed the rare opportunity of sitting in an anchor's chair. He made sure to make time for a proper photo op. But the new studio was just an appetizer. The main event of the visit was to check out Asia's premier virtual studio at FTV. Kazuyuki listened closely as staff provided explanations and then showed off the technology. The de facto ambassador was amazed by FTV's investment into the virtual studio, especially FTV Culture Department's 1+4 T-Content Plan, a 2023 to 2027 project that garnered 10 billion NT over 4 years from the Executive Yuan. The program's aim is to introduce the world to Taiwan's visual arts culture. Kenji Lee is a talented young film director who studied in Australia. Now that he's back in Taiwan, he has chosen FTV's virtual studio as the set of his new work.
Since I came back from Australia, where I saw many studios, I feel like this place here truly is one of Taiwan's best virtual studios. I'd say it's the best. You could say it's one of Asia's premier studios. For this here, the studio captures the camera data, and then we can transfer it to the game engine, which has the capability to take data from the virtual camera and send it to the image on the screen. So when the camera moves, the image moves with it. So I think this is really amazing technology.
The giant LED screen has state-of-the-art augmented reality technology. FTV's Hollywood-level virtual studio instantly transported Kazuyuki to Kyoto. The de facto ambassador has been devoted to fostering bilateral relations during his 5 months in Taiwan. And now he has witnessed FTV's virtual studio, a pioneering feat that showcases the innovative technology of Taiwan's film industry.
Taiwan's largest earthquake in 25 years happened over a week ago, yet aftershocks continue to rock the entire country. On Wednesday night, the tremors caused several large rocks to fall on train tracks in Hualien, derailing a train with 146 passengers.
The area that the rock fell on does not currently have a rockfall alert system. Fortunately for all involved, no injuries have been reported.
Engineers are inspecting a derailed Pioma train. At the front left side of the train's engine, they notice the signs of a collision, which explains why the front car of this train derailed Wednesday evening. The northbound train's final destination was New Taipei's Shuling Station. At 9:10 at night, this train was close to Heping Station in Hualien when it struck a boulder that had fallen on the tracks, scraping its side. With their train unable to go forward, over 100 passengers had their travel plans delayed. While waiting for another train, one rider was upset enough to yell at a train station staff member who did his best to help the passengers calm down. The number 445 Pioma Zichang Limited Express train was pulling into Hualien's Heping Station from the south when it crashed into one of the four big stones that had fallen from the hillside on the tracks after rolling across Provincial Highway No. 9 and destroying the protective fences. The collision caused the front car's second axle to derail. The incident has raised questions as to why no alert was sent about falling boulders on the tracks. The Taiwan Railway explained that the incident had happened between the 40,800-kilometer and 40,900-kilometer marks on the track, which does not have a warning system for falling rocks, as it was previously not deemed a high-risk area. The line currently has 26 other sections of track with warning systems.
Back when the assessment of that track section was carried out, they determined the slope was relatively safe. In the future, we'll have 38 sections that will be part of the rockfall alert system, which we're currently working on. So, for follow-up work pertaining to these 38 sections of Taiwan Railway, I think we'll inspect the slopes once more. We're likely to add some more alert areas to the slopes.
On the train were 146 people, which includes railway staff and travelers, yet none were harmed by the collision. The passengers were later transferred onto a local train as Taiwan Railway rushed to repair the track. The eastern track was back in service by 12:30 a.m. on April 11th, and the entire track was operational by 6:30 in the morning. Because aftershocks have continued to shake Hualien, Taiwan Railway is working to keep travelers safe by adding a steel fence that'll run alongside the track, and it is also more frequently inspecting the entire line of the train.
With earthquakes such a frequent occurrence in Taiwan, effective earthquake response systems are a big industry. A new AI earthquake early warning system is in development, which promises to provide more accurate predictions for quake magnitude.
The new system has been developed at National Central University. The deputy head of its Earthquake Disaster and Risk Evaluation and Management Center, Zhang Zhonghan, explains how the new system could be used to reduce risk and casualties.
We're looking at the Hualien region during the recent earthquake. The 32 represents the Miluan Fault. The 22 represents the Huadong Longitudinal Fault. We all know that it has a higher probability of earthquake occurrence in the future.
National Central University has a two-year project funded by the Central Weather Administration to create a next-generation AI earthquake early warning system, TTSAM. Its aim is to win citizens a bit more time to prepare for an earthquake and thereby reduce casualties. It will be able to pick up on tremors faster and provide intensity predictions for each county with at least 90% accuracy. Developers hope it will be used eventually in the official earthquake warning system.
When our station has picked it up, within about 6 seconds we'll be able to assess which places are facing tremors of an intensity of 4 or more for almost everywhere in Taiwan. Then we can use this method to issue warnings for most places.
The system uses artificial intelligence to monitor earthquake imagery, drawing on AI quake data training models built in Japan and Italy. It takes into account the ways that tremors are magnified in certain places in Taiwan to optimize predictions. The system could predict that the recent quake of magnitude 7.2 in Hualien would have an intensity of 4 or over in most parts of Taiwan. Apart from making such predictions more accurate, the system will also issue its analyses faster than traditional warning systems.
In terms of the needs of official institutions, I am confident they will be able to send information to people who need it. In 6 seconds, they can't make a high-speed train slow down from 200 kilometers an hour to zero, but they can effectively reduce the speed and maybe avoid some potential dangers.
Taiwan is in a high-frequency earthquake region. With advanced warning systems, response times are in the seconds, and every second can make a big difference in improving outcomes.
Taiwan's terrain was torn and moved in different directions after the devastating earthquake on April 3rd. According to government data, ground displacement was the worst in Hualien, which saw land moving up as much as 45.1 centimeters.
Other parts of Taiwan saw smaller vertical shifts of 1 to 6 centimeters. Experts say that because the earthquake struck offshore, the greatest displacements lie undetected on the ocean floor.
Last Wednesday's magnitude 7.2 earthquake not only damaged buildings and roads, but also deformed terrain across Taiwan. The Interior Ministry's National Land Surveying and Mapping Center analyzed data collected before and after the earthquake. The greatest vertical ground displacement was recorded at the Hualien Station, where earth was pushed up 45.1 centimeters. The greatest horizontal displacement, measuring 22.2 centimeters, was also recorded in Hualien, at the East Coast National Scenic Area Administration Station.
Because the earthquake struck offshore, the biggest displacement actually occurred on the seabed. It's just that we don't have ways to monitor those changes. Historically, the biggest displacement ever recorded was caused by the Gigi earthquake on the Chilunpu Fault. There were shifts of 5 to 10 meters.
The latest ground displacements broke no records, but they have altered Taiwan's topography. Xincheng Station, located near the earthquake's epicenter, recorded a horizontal shift of 8.6 centimeters and a vertical shift of 26 centimeters. At Fengbin Station, there was horizontal displacement of 4 centimeters and vertical displacement of 2.2 centimeters.
Observations show that the area affected by the changes was actually very large. It's not like previous times when only a small stretch was affected. Shifts occurred over a large area, as if the coastal mountain range had been pushed upward at its faults from the pressure.
According to government data, displacements weren't limited to the East Coast. Northern monitoring stations saw shifts of 1 to 4 centimeters, while western stations saw shifts of 1 to 6 centimeters. Shifts of 1 to 2 centimeters were recorded in the south.
When it comes to changes of just a few dozen centimeters, they are not really perceptible to most people. This isn't like how it was after the 1999 Gigi earthquake, which lifted the ground up by several meters. Back then, you could certainly notice a difference of 1 or 2 meters outside your front door.
The geologist says that although ground has shifted nationwide, the changes are likely not noticeable in everyday life.
National Zhongxin University on Thursday broke ground on a new 580 million NT dollars vet building, which includes a center to train animal epidemic prevention experts.
Completion is slated for 2027, and after its inauguration, it will be the biggest veterinary education building of its kind in central Taiwan. Let's hear from the university.
That
After construction is complete, we'll have a specialized world-class facility for veterinary medicine and epidemic prevention. We will do our utmost to cultivate talent in epidemic prevention. With the current lifestyle trends, there's growing demand for goods and services related to pet needs. The construction of this veterinary medicine building marks an improvement in our veterinary service capacity.
National Zhongxin University was the first university to establish a College of Veterinary Medicine in Taiwan and currently houses an important animal hospital in Taichung. The university's original veterinary medicine building has been in use since 1980. Since then, the department has outgrown the space. The new building will be a place for students to hone their skills, providing internship opportunities to potential vets. At the same time, its opening will mark a major upgrade to Taichung's animal healthcare capacity. Taiwan is a home from home for many new immigrants. Lucian Hedquist is a visual artist and gallery curator from Hong Kong. He came to Taiwan to study and stayed here to develop his career in the arts.
He likes the way Taiwanese art collectors buy work for love and not purely as in financial investments. Moving to Taiwan has also brought the natural world as a greater element in his art.
Hong Kong native Lucian Hedquist came to Taiwan to study straight after high school and is now a graduate student at the Department of Fine Arts, Donghai University.
In Hong Kong, many people lump art and investment together into art investment. But when I came to Taiwan, I found that Taiwanese people seem to buy artworks because they like them. It's not so difficult for cutting-edge artists to build a career here in Taiwan.
Hedquist completes a work in acrylics. He's often inspired by Taiwan's beautiful landscapes.
As a city kid, when I suddenly moved to a more natural environment, it had quite a big impact on a felt level. Also because I got more interested in nature or landscape as a subject matter.
When he's not painting, he works at a gallery as an exhibition curator, using a spirit level to hang the work of up-and-coming artists.
If I just want to create art, then I just need to paint whatever I like. I may not need to consider the market. But working in a gallery or even planning an exhibition, you need to accept your responsibility toward the viewers and collectors, and even the artists themselves. You consider other factors than just your own feelings. One is more personal, the other is more about meeting the public.
From artist to curator, Hedquist is constantly shifting perspectives, but his passion for good art remains unchanged.